Mark chapter 11. The message today is a question of authority. So often in your Bible, you will see the word power, and sometimes that is the correct translation, and at other times it isn't. There are two words that are translated power. There is the word dunamis, which is correctly translated power. You've heard of dynamite before, and that has power. But there is the word exousia, which means authority, that which is lawful. And so, the message today is a question of authority. Power is the ability to do something. Authority is the lawfulness to do something. Some people have power, but they have not authority. Some have authority, but have not power. Some have authority and power. And so, continuing our study, where we left off last week in Mark chapter 11, we shall read, starting at verse 27. You remember that our Savior cleansed the temple. And now it says in verse 27, and they come again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, think of this for a moment. The day before, when he cleansed it, he was not able to walk in the temple, filled with money changers, cattle, doves. But now, he is in the temple, and he is walking around, and there is room. As he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests, and the scribes, and the elders. And they say unto him, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who gave thee this authority to do these things? So this is a question of authority. Verse 29. And Jesus said unto them, I will ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But should we say from men, they feared the people, for all verily held John to be a prophet. And they answered Jesus and say, we know not. And Jesus said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, never man speak like this man. We are thankful that once in the history of the world, there was a man who never spoke a word that was out of place, that was out of season, that was inappropriate. We are thankful, our Father, that you gave him wisdom to speak words that were appropriate to all men. We remember what he said to you. He said, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. We are thankful for all the words that you gave your Son, and he was able to speak the proper words at the proper season. We are thankful for the words that we've read that he spoke today, and we want to consider so many more of the words that he spoke. So let us take them to heart, our God. Let us realize who this one is that is challenged, and let us understand the answers that he gave the men when he was questioned. We thank you for the time that we had an hour before. We remembered your Son. We spoke to you about your Son. Now, this is the hour in which The request of your son is to be carried out. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, so grant that they may be fed appropriately and well today. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and sin and cleanse as you have promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This is a remarkable thing. Our Savior has cleansed the temple, and now he comes back in, and they have not had boldness as yet to corrupt the temple by filling it again. But what happened was this, and this is a sad commentary on the behavior of the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Those that were leaders of Israel were to be the eyes of Israel. But the leaders of Israel were blind guides of the blind, and they would both fall into the ditch. And so instead of rejoicing, as some on occasion did, there was this lawyer, when the Savior was answering the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he knew that Christ had answered well and wisely, and he congratulated the Lord. And even the enemies of Christ, when he was asked questions about the resurrection, and he put to silence the Sadducees, those that were around looked at one another and said, "Master, you have well said." And they said they were afraid to ask him anything else. Why? Because he was the man with all the answers. Now, what happens is this. We must cause this man to cease the activities that he's been carrying on. The high priest had said earlier, because the Spirit of God speaks through those that are in high places. He said, "You know nothing at all, that it's expedient that one die for the nation, that the whole nation perish not." This he said not of himself, but being high priest that year. God enabled him to speak those words. So here are men that are looking at the Lord Jesus, and the only time they speak the right words is when they are smitten in heart. But if they're not smitten in heart, they see the finger of God, but they will not even answer as fairly and honestly as Jannes and Jambres did in Egypt. When Moses was bringing down one judgment after another, finally, when one specific judgment was brought down, they said, "This is the finger of God." But what happens, and this is what I thought I would read to you also, but did not, in John chapter 2, when our Savior cleansed the temple for the first time, they came to him and said, "What sign do you show us that you do these things?" Notice, the second time he cleansed the temple, they did not say, "What sign?" Why? Because he had filled Palestine with his signs. They did not say, "What sign?" But they said, "By what sort of authority do you do these things? And who gave you the authority to do these things?" Now this is so sad, because the very fact that the temple had been contaminated and needed cleansing, and one came to do the work that they were either blind to do or full of fear to do, one comes and does it for them. But they do not congratulate him and say, "Well done, thou cleanser of the temple. Now, God can be worshipped in an appropriate way. Now, this is conducive to his being worshipped in spirit and in truth." But instead of that, appreciating what Christ did, they said, "By what sort of authority do you do these things? And who is he that gave you authority to do these things?" This is a heart that is adamant, and the prophets know that. And God says they have an adamant heart. They have a horrid that is rebellious against me and the truth of God. And so these can be described in the same way. So what they're going to do is this. If Jesus tells them any authority by which he does these things, they can challenge it and say, we are the Sanhedrin. We are they who determine whether you have this authority. And we say that you have not been given this authority. Cease. You'll find also in Acts that the authorities told the disciples, if they're preaching the gospel, to cease as well. And so what is our Savior going to do? No matter what question they ask him, he never plays into their hand. Do you remember when they came and said, Rabbi, shall we give tribute unto Caesar, or shall we not give tribute unto Caesar? He said, you hypocrites, show me a penny. He said, whose superscription is on this penny? He said, Caesar's. He said, then render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and unto God the things that are God. And he said, they weren't able to take hold on his words. Never were they able to confound him, because his words are the words of God. What do you do when the Father and the Holy Spirit are giving you answers to the stratagems of men? It says this concerning Stephen in Acts chapter 7, that when he was contending with the Jews, it said they were not able to withstand the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And so the only thing they could do was this. When they heard his words, they could not reject those words. They could not set them aside through their superior wisdom. And so they picked up stones and destroyed him. That's the only thing to do. But the Savior's hour has not yet come. And if he speaks to them certain words, they will lay hold on those words and challenge his authority. And so he gives them no words. He says, I will answer your question, but you must answer this for me first. The baptism of John, was its source heaven, or was it for men? And no matter what answer they gave, they were confounded. And they got together. They said, what shall we say? What answer shall we give him? And they reasoned correctly. Now, if we say his baptism was from heaven, he will say, why did you not believe him? And if we say, no, his baptism was from men, he said, all the people are convinced that John was a prophet. They said, we can't give him an answer. He said, well, go tell him that. They said, we are not able to give you an answer. And the Savior said, well, neither am I going to tell you by what authority I do these things. That is the wisdom of our Savior. He confounds all that come and ask him questions. So, here, he did not tell them by what authority he did it. But you must understand this, that on occasions, our Savior did tell by what authority he did things. And you must accept the question that these Jewish authorities gave, because whatever you do, you're to have some authority. You'll find that not only was the Savior given authority, but other men had authority to pass on that authority as well. I will tell you some of them. When Satan tempted our Savior in the wilderness, he showed the Savior all the kingdoms of the world and the glories of them in a moment of time. And he said, look, all this authority is delivered unto me, and I give the authority to anyone I please. Now, partially that was true. But you see, Satan had this authority. And it says in John chapter 12 about authority, Satan and his power. And so Satan has authority to accomplish things on earth and to give power to men on earth. That's what he's going to do in the coming day. To the Antichrist and to the beast, he is going to give power, his power and his authority. And so Satan had that power. But Christ also had the power as well as received the power. That is most important. You'll find in Matthew chapter 10 that the Lord Jesus empowered his disciples. In Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 10, you'll find that he gave his disciples authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and so Christ gave them that power. But this is the sad thing, that people also have authority, and our Savior told them that. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they were to lay hands on him, he said, "This is your hour and the authority of darkness." And so they had been given that authority. So understand that whenever a man does anything to the Church of Jesus Christ, when anything occurs on earth, it first of all has to be cleared in heaven. Do you remember how poor Job was tried to the utmost? But you and I have read Job 1 and 2, and we are saying to him, don't you understand that God is protecting you? He's told Satan that you could only do so much. Don't you understand that? No, Job did not understand it. He knew nothing about it. And what is so sad is that the things that happen to us on earth, if we, in likeness to Job, could read chapters 1 and 2, we would not worry at all. We would say, the things that are happening to us down here have been cleared by God in heaven. Satan can only do what God gives him authority to do. And when he would overreach that authority, God says, no, spare his life. That's what we must know. So, whenever Pilate would boast, our Savior would not speak to him. And Pilate said, answerest thou me not? Do you not know I have power to crucify you, and I have power to release you? And the Lord Jesus said, you would have no authority against me at all, except it were given thee in heaven. You see, our Savior knew. He knew that God was Lord of heaven and earth. When our Savior had performed his mightiest miracles, and men did not repent, he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Yea, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Do you understand? Our Savior, when there was failure, said, I thank you, Lord of heaven and earth. So everything is always under the control of God. You see the activity of Satan, and you see the authority of Satan. You see the authority of men. But it is authority that must be given by God. Men do not acknowledge it. But when we read the whole story, we understand that whatever authority they do to harm us, it is because God has allowed this certain thing. Now, you'll find that others, such as the Apostle Paul, have power. He speaks of that. He says to the Corinthians, he says, power that God gave me for building up and not tearing down. He said, I have authority. Notice, even though it's the word power in our King James versions, you'll find that the word is exousia. I have authority. And so as an apostle, Paul had the authority to tear down and build up the children of God. If there was sin in the midst, he would not have to question as to whether that sin would be dealt with. He had the authority to judge that sin. And so this was the authority given to the Apostle Paul. I shall just mention those to show you. Now, the Lord Jesus was asked on this occasion, by what authority doest thou these things? And he would not answer them a word. Why? Because they had asked him, show us a sign that you do these things. The Lord Jesus gave them numerous signs. And this is what it says. It's a tragic tone in John chapter 12. Though Jesus had done so many signs before them, yet they believed not on him. How sad. And so why should Christ perform another sign that would be meaningless? Suppose you had seen someone with a crowd of 5,000 people take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and break them and feed the multitudes. And then after that, Christ challenges them, and they say, now, what sign do you show us that you have a right to do these things? If he's just fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, what greater sign could you give? And so they do not come and ask for a sign in Mark 11. They say, by what authority? And Christ knows that whatever answer he gives, they will not accept it. And so he says, I will tell you if you tell me. And they say, we are not able to tell. He said, neither will I tell you. Because he knew it was not inability. He knew it was their willfulness to reject what was true. Now, I'm going to give you some references when Christ did speak of his authority, the source of it. And I'm going to give you references to the authority that Christ had, of which authority he did not tell them at that time. This is what it says in John chapter 3. It says, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. How remarkable. Listen, the word all. He's given all things into his hand. Now, this is what it says in Acts chapter 10. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. This is what it says in Ephesians. God has given him to be head over all to the church. So, God has given all things into his hands. He's Lord of all. He's head over all things to the church. Now, listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 2. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? And it said, you have put all things in subjection under his feet. He says, now if it says all things are put in subjection under his feet, there is nothing left that is not put in subjection under his feet. You say, then all is subject to him. He's Lord of all. He's King of all. The Father has committed all into his hands. And let me tell you this. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 17, he said, you have given him authority over all flesh. You see? And so the authority of Christ is limitless. All is given unto him. Now, what I want you to do is to see how the Lord Jesus patiently accepts the challenges earlier in his ministry. And when those 4 friends were letting down that paralytic through the roof, our Savior saw their faith, and he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the scribes, remember that the scribes were those who interpreted the law. They said within themselves, this man is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? God alone. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why think ye evil in your heart? For which is easier, to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up thy bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins. The Lord Jesus said, I have authority on earth to forgive sins. What does it mean? He is speaking as God manifests in the flesh, because when God gives any authority to his Son, it is because of the incarnate Son. The Godhead does not give authority to the Godhead. But God manifests in the flesh. The Lord Jesus has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he can prove it. How? He said, I'm going to show you that I have this authority. Take up your bed and walk. And when he took up his bed and walked, they were astounded. And they could say absolutely nothing. You see? Now, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, all power, and the word is, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and preach the gospel. Make disciples of all the nations. And so Christ is saying, all authority is given unto me, and therefore I delegate authority unto you. You go and make disciples of all the nations. This is what he said in Matthew 9 and in Matthew chapter 28. Now, this is what is startling in Luke chapter 12. the Lord Jesus is speaking about the affliction and the persecution of those that shall carry out his will. And he says, be not afraid of them that kill the body, but after that have no more that they can do. But I will tell you whom you fear. Fear him who, after he has killed the body, has authority to cast into hell. You say, well, who is that that has authority to cast into hell? Let me give you another verse or two, and you tell me. The Lord Jesus, in Revelation chapter 1, when John fell at his feet as one dead, he said, fear not. He said, I am the first and the last. I am the living one, and I have the keys of death and of hell. There is only one that has the keys of death and of hell, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. And in like manner, when the Savior speaks of God the Father, who has power to cast into hell, understand that this authority is delegated to the Son, and he has the keys of death and of hell. Now, here is our Savior when he's asked in John chapter 10, and he is the only one who ever has been given this authority on earth. No other man has had this authority. The Lord Jesus said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. He said, I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it again. Tell me any man who has authority to say to God, I'm not ready to die, I'm not going to die now. Who? You say, no one ever said it. And whoever have authority to say to God, I'm ready to rise from the dead now. You say, nobody but Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, I am the one who has that authority. And in John chapter 10, this is what is profound. They were challenging our Savior's right to claim that God was his Father and he was the Son of God. And the Lord Jesus said, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world that I blaspheme because I said that I am God's Son? You see how Christ on certain occasions told you who he was, told what authority he had. Now, the Lord Jesus has twofold power. He has the power to cast into hell, but it says in John chapter 17, that the Lord Jesus has been given authority that to all whom the Father has given Christ, he should give eternal life. There's no one else who has ever had that authority. You and I can preach the gospel, and if men believe the gospel, we say, you have eternal life. The Lord Jesus is he who listens to men, and he says, you have eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ is he who imparts eternal life to all whom the Father gives. And this is what is so beautiful concerning our Savior. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. Do you love all the Christians in the church? Are there some of them that you wish that God had left out of the church? Are there some who came to our Savior and you would say, do not accept this one? But the Lord Jesus said, all that the Father gives me shall come unto thee, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. So if the Father had one that was in the city of sinner, a woman of doubtful reputation, the Lord Jesus, when the woman came to him, he said, thy sins are forgiven thee. And in like manner, the chief of sinners, when the Apostle Paul comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus says, thy sins are forgiven thee. This is the authority that he has, and the authority that he has is never abused, but he uses it always in harmony with what the Father has told him. Now, what is so excellent about our Savior in the coming day is this. It says that the hour is coming when Christ is going to take his authority. The authority that is his has been temporarily held back. The Lord Jesus is that nobleman who went into a far city to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And so the Lord Jesus now is awaiting the time of that manifestation. He said, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. So Savior, exercise that power. He says, it is not time to exercise that power. But in the coming day, he shall exercise that authority. And he shall say to his Father, this is the time that I want to manifest this power on the earth. And it says in Revelation that just as with the two witnesses in chapter 11, so with the Savior in chapter 12, the time of his authority has come. Let me tell you about those two witnesses for a moment, because it's so important. People are talking about those Jews that are going during the Great Tribulation, going through the world preaching the gospel. It's the most absurd thing I've ever heard, because here is the Antichrist, and you cannot buy or sell, you get no food without his permission. And you think that the Antichrist is going to stand by and let thousands of Jews go and preach the gospel when they please? But this is what you'll find. In Revelation chapter 11, you have two witnesses, and they have a testimony that is going to extend 3.5 years. And the Antichrist and those that hate them are trying to stop their mouths. But they have authority. When anyone would say, cease speaking, you are not to preach, they have power to call down fire from heaven and destroy their enemies. That is how the gospel is going to be preached during the Great Tribulation. Not men going and saying what they please, where they please, but certain ones that have this authority given to them to preach for a certain amount of time, that men may hear and have an opportunity to repent. And when that time is taken away, notice what happens. When that authority ends, it says they are put to death because the enemy would not allow them to speak. And so it is not anyone that chooses to go and preach during that Great Tribulation, but certain ones that have this authority given unto them. And here is Christ speaking of that authority in Mark chapter 11. They challenged him in John 2 when he cleansed the temple. They challenge him again in Mark 11 when he cleanses the temple. And he does not tell them what authority, but he asks them a question, and they will not answer it, so he does not have to tell them what he's told them over and over again. Listen to what they ask in John chapter 10. They said, how long do you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us. The Lord Jesus said, I told you. They said, tell us plainly. He said, I told you, and you did not believe. And so Christ is not going to waste his words anymore. Now, what is of the greatest importance is this, that he says, tell me about the baptism of John. Was it from heaven or was it from man? Little did they know that had they answered honestly that question, that the baptism of John was from heaven, then the matter has come to an end. You realize that when John was asked his authority, he gave them an answer. You may find in Malachi, and you may find in Isaiah chapter 40, the twofold references to John the Baptist, this prophet that is going to come, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And John had been given a special sign that he might know, who is this Messiah that I am announcing? And he told him, he said, I saw the heavens open, and I saw the Spirit of God descend from heaven and abide upon him. And I'm telling you, this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. Now, Christ said, tell me, the baptism of John, was it from heaven? If they had said, yes, the matter would have been ended. Notice, there was always authority. Where did your authority come from, John the Baptist? It came from Malachi, and it came from Isaiah. And where did your authority come from, Jesus of Nazareth? He said, it came from the commendation of John the Baptist, and that commendation came from heaven. So this is his answer to a question of authority. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we thank you for the greatness of this man that you sent from heaven. We are thankful that again and again and again he has told us of the source of his authority, and he has told us the extent of that authority. And our Savior is Lord over all. All flesh is given into his hands. All authority is given unto thee in heaven and in earth. And he is our Savior, and he is the one who has authorized us to go and preach the gospel to every creature, and also to carry out all things contained in the Word of God. We thank you, Father, for the absolute authority that you've given him and that he's passed on to us. We thank you for the answer about this question of authority. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over. Matthew chapter 21. I have to preach to you from Matthew to continue preaching to you from Luke. And I'll tell you why in one moment. Matthew 21, starting at verse 47. Our Savior is asked a question, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Verse 27. And they answered Jesus and said, we know not. He also said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. And that's where Mark's account ends. But Matthew tells us that something else was said. But, what think ye? A man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work the day in the vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented himself and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise, son, go work the day in my vineyard. And he said, I go, sir. And went not. Which of the two did the will of his father? They say, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans, or the tax collectors, and the harlots believed him, and when you saw it, did not even repent yourselves afterward, that you might believe him. Just a word of prayer. Again, Father, bless us as we look into these scriptures briefly. Feed thy children, strengthen them, teach us. We commit all into thy hands in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let me ask you this. If the Bible says someone is a child of God, that God is their father, does that mean that they're Christians? It doesn't. Well, what means that you're a Christian? I am a child of God. If I'm a child of God, am I not a Christian? I'm not. But what I have to do? You mean if a man is a child of God, he's not a Christian? What does it mean to be a child of God? It is simply a relationship to our Creator in the sense that all men are God's children by creation. All Israelites were God's children by that choice that he made of Israel in the land of Egypt But neither one of those things make you a born again child of God. That's most essential. It says, a certain man had two sons. Which of these two sons was a child of God? Neither one of them. At the first, but one of them became a child of God. Keep that in mind. So many people read in the Bible about someone being a child of God, and they say, well, that means that he's saved. It may mean that he's a child of God by creation, or a child of God by a covenant relationship like Israel. But unless a person has been born again, he is not a child of God. It's the same way in Luke 13. And notice, I'm trying to give you as much as I can in a brief amount of time, but in Luke 15 it said, a certain man had two sons. You remember the older son and the younger son? And which one of those sons at the first were sons of God? Neither one. But the young son went into a far country, and he came to his senses and returned home. And then his father said, he was dead and was alive again. He was lost and was found. So be sure that when it speaks of someone as being a child of God, it means a born-again spiritual child of God. Because every Jew walking around in the land is a child of God because of his being a descendant of Abraham. But he's not a born-again child of God. So, what our Savior does is to ask another question of the Jews, and when they answered his first question by not answering his first question, he said, I'm not going to answer your question then to tell you by what authority I do these things. He said, but now I have a question to ask you. Now, a man had two sons, and he tells them the behavior of these sons. And one son, when he was asked to go work in the vineyard, he said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said the same, go work today in my vineyard. And he said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Now this is the question. Which of the two did the will of his father? They say, the first, who said, I will not go, did go, and did the will of his father. And the Lord Jesus said, that is right. And the tax collectors, the despised tax collectors that were working for the nation of Rome that was against them, they go into the kingdom of God, and the harlots, those outcasts, go into the kingdom of God before you. Now, notice that this is vitally connected with what our Savior said, because he said, the baptism of John, what was it? And they said, we do not know. But the Lord Jesus tells them, it said, they repented at the baptism of John. And you, when you saw them repent, did not repent yourselves and enter in. So, this is the point. A man can talk as much as he pleases about doing the will of God and being a child of God, but that does not make him a child of God. And that should bring to your mind that some people, when they stand before Christ in the last day, are going to say, Lord, Lord, did we not? And he's going to say, not every man that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So will talk get you to heaven? If you talk the right way. Because it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Or if you talk that way, are you saved? Of course you are. But here, this man talked, and he said, I will not go and work. But that talk did not keep him out. And another man said, I will go and work. And that talk did not let him in. It is what you say backed up by what you do. That will get you to heaven. Now, faith, as it says, apart from works, will get you to heaven. But if it is a living faith, it automatically follows that there shall be words. When the good seed was sown, it brought forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Did all bring forth the same amount of fruit? No. Or suppose the one that brought forth 30-fold said, well, I brought forth just 30-fold. I'm not a true believer. That's wrong. I brought forth 100-fold. I am a true believer. The fact that it brings forth fruit at all proves that it is a believer. So, if a man says, I trust the Lord Jesus as my Savior, and then the Spirit of God works in him and he lives for the Savior, relatively, that man is saved. You can have another one talking all the time about being a servant of God and doing the will of God, but if he does not do the work of God, he is not saved. So remember, there was not one work that a man ever does,
but one